That was very beautiful. Thank you, Mrs. Kennedy. Happy feast, everyone. It is a wonderful blessing to be here today. Appreciated the hymns that were selected so far, the opening prayer, and also the first message. So thank you for that. Thank you to God and His Son for them calling us and giving us this opportunity to know them, to live this way of life. I also wanted to, there's so many people that are struggling with different diseases, situations, and Jan Sweeten is wanted to be here today, and she continues to struggle, but she has her spirits very strong, and she suffers with her asthma, and she's been put on a air nebulizer that helps her breathing. She's been given steroids. They just do not work for her. Her body cannot take it. Her high blood pressure is up right now. And so we also want to be thinking of her as well as everyone else. John Elliott he can't get up. His back went out a day or two ago, and he is really desiring to go to the hospital. And so far he has not gone. And he's also going through that situation. And you know what? As we heard in the first message, God does not leave. You know what? We come out of Egypt. We come out at darkness. We come out of darkness and we come into this marvelous light. God is a loving and caring God. But there's times He may not heal right away. And maybe not even in this lifetime. But He's there. And He tests us. We cannot doubt God. He's always there. He wants to know if we're always going to obey Him. So compared to the population of the world, there are few that are keeping this day. You are among the few. Most are doing their own thing. But we are here. Why are you here? And why do you do the things that you do? Why do you continue to struggle, to overcome, and put on godliness? Why? Why do you continue to do it? Are we looking at our lives? And we need, as we heard in the first message, is to reflect. You know, three good points. And reflecting on what God is doing for us. But are we reflecting to continue in this process? Are we truly reflecting on how extremely blessed we are? Do we view as sin as we detest it. We hate it. We're in the days of unleavened bread. To put sin out and to replace that sin with righteousness. How much do we love righteousness? We can ask ourselves, do I always struggle with having to obey God? Or do we love righteousness? Do we see our calling as a high calling, as Paul tells us in Philippians? This is an invitation that is high. There's not very many people that are called to this calling right now. We understand that we're called to a better resurrection. It's not just, we're first. No, it's a better resurrection. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20. And it talks about the first resurrection. Let's pick it up in verse 6. It starts out in verse 6, blessed. And as we've heard over the years, this word blessed means it's emphasized, oh, how extremely blessed. It's not just, oh, blessed. No, it's, oh, how extremely blessed. It's not much of a better blessing or an emphasis that you can get than that. How extremely blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Jesus Christ, and they shall reign with him for 1,000 years, as it talks about the millennium here. But it goes on after that. Back up to Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9. Here it's saying, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. To give God glory for the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. There's a marriage for those who are of the first resurrection. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, those who are in the first resurrection, has made herself ready. Jesus Christ died for us to help us get ready to be in the first resurrection, to be the bride of Christ. What an amazing blessing that God would give of himself that we could be married to his son. And it was to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, made possible through this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the one that God gave to us. And Jesus Christ was the willing sacrifice. Then he said to me, write, O extremely blessed. It's here again. Are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, how extremely blessed. I've titled the message today, Extremely Blessed. Oh, how extremely blessed it is to be like God in the future. But it's also an amazing blessing. And we are extremely blessed to be like God in the present as well. In this process of becoming complete. We are called to come out of sin and not just put away this sin. Because anything, when you have a bad habit, they say, get rid of the habit, right? And they don't say, okay, now you're on your way to go. No, they always tell us that when we have a bad habit, we got to get rid of it. Then we have to replace that bad habit. So during the days of unleavened bread, we put sin out. That during the days of unleavened bread, leavening represents sin. And during the days of unleavened bread represents righteousness. Jesus Christ is unleavened. The church, the body of Jesus Christ is unleavened. So when we take that bread, we look at it and say, you know what? Through Jesus Christ, I can get rid of sin. He's unleavened. And I need to feed on him. I need to eat this unleavened bread. And my brothers and sisters are also unleavened. And we put out sin. Passover, as we just kept, is a desire that God put in us to repent. That's put in us. It doesn't just come naturally. To be redeemed and unified with God, to be made complete. And then we have these days of unleavened bread. As we put that into practice, using that unleavened bread, that sacrifice, to be restored to God, to be redeemed. And to understand we've been bought at a very high price. And God is calling a group of first fruits. We have that opportunity to be the first fruits. And God is working with those individuals to be first fruits, which Pentecost represents the first fruit harvest, which is also called Pentecost. And God desires to make his home with us, with him and his son through this process. They desire this to make their home with us through the power of the Holy Spirit made possible through this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we can be one with one another. Since Jesus Christ says, I come. Now through the sacrifice, a new commandment I give you, a commandment that could not be kept before, is to love one another. And through that process of loving one another, a great work can be done. A great work can be done in us. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. Because I have a question. Is there anything more important to God than we love one another? God sent his son to die for us. Why did he do that? Because he loves us, cares for us, and he wants us to love others, made possible through this sacrifice. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, and think about this. Is there anything more important than to love one another? And to love one another, we have to keep all of God's laws, which it starts in verse 5. It says, this is the message John is saying, which we have heard from him, and we declare it to you. So this information came through the ministry, and is declaring it to the members, that God is light. So God is righteous. This is who he is. And in him there's no darkness. There's no sin whatsoever. And through the process of Jesus Christ, through that sacrifice, when we apply it to us, we can be sinless at that time. If we say that we have fellowship, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we can't be a hypocrite. Jesus Christ told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Beware of the hypocrisy, saying one thing, pretending to be one thing, and doing another. If we do that, we're not of the truth. And that's what these days also represent. But if we walk in the light, if we desire to walk in the light, to take of this bread and to focus on what this bread represents and to apply it in our lives as he is in the light, just as Jesus Christ and God the Father, then we have fellowship with one another. That's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ we can have fellowship with one another. With them living in us, we can apply that, and we are different. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That doesn't happen. If we're not loving one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse us of our sin. So that question, is there anything more important than to love one another? And to keep God's law is love. So if we're not keeping his law, we're not love. We can still do a work, but God says, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn over there real quick. This is still my introduction. And I'm going to finish by 10 after 12. So 20 minutes early. That's my goal. So Matthew chapter 7. I think this is important for us to understand, important for us to get. Why did Christ die? Oh, why? We cannot be love unless that happened. We can only love because they first loved us. Matthew chapter 7. If we think that we can just bypass that and just continue to do a work and think we're okay, we might hear these words. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone, Jesus, these are the words from Jesus Christ. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those who do that will be extremely blessed. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, that time of judgment. Have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we been doing a work? Haven't we cast out demons in your name, preaching the gospel, teaching the truth? And haven't we also done many wonders in your name? And verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. It says, depart from me. Depart because of lawlessness. How do our sins become forgiven? Through the love that we have with each other, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through the love that the God the Father and Jesus Christ have for us. We must be applying that love to one another. How daunting would it be to hear those words? And we've done all this great work. I never knew you. Where was your love? Verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Jesus Christ prays for us in John 17. I'm sure you heard that on the Passover evening. Jesus Christ prays for the ones that the Father has called to him. So in that process, we have this time of getting ready for that day of trumpets, for the return of Jesus Christ. And then for that time to be at one with God. And then that debasing of God can be put away. And we have the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium. For those who go through the tribulation and those who are born during the millennium will get to learn of God. Then eventually, another resurrection for all those who have not been called to this first resurrection will have the opportunity to know God. How exciting is this? This should energize us to be producing godly fruit, that God wants to reproduce himself and wants as many. He doesn't want to lose anyone. He's doing whatever he can to get us to hear these words. So those who are called now, we must accept this challenge. It is a challenge of being extremely blessed. It just doesn't happen. Oh, how extremely blessed that we can live a life dedicated to God. Do we look at it that way? Is this our mindset? Do we continue to believe and trust in the pursuit of this high calling? Because it is a high calling. And it's not just to get something. It's about me. It's to be something. It truly is. It's to be like God. Not to take his place, but it's to be like him. He's producing offspring. He's producing children. He wants to make us complete. So do we desire to be like God? Do we desire to take on his blessings? If so, then we need to be living that life now. So my SBS, how can we live to be like God? I have 3 points also. Point number one, and these aren't the only 3 points. You can add to these, but these are the 3 points I came up with. Point number one is to be Christ-like. to have the same mindset, to be humble, just as Jesus Christ was humble. Jesus Christ humbled himself even though he was God. He humbled himself even though he never sinned. When I look at that verse in Scripture where Jesus Christ did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, right? But he gave his own life to come down here. He didn't say, okay, well, I've never sinned before. And I have to come down and do this? He was with God for eternity before time began. He didn't make excuses. He was willing to do the Father's will. We must do the same. We must willingly humble ourselves. He followed authority. He followed the Father's will. This was his mindset. And he always did the right thing every single time. It's something that we need to be doing. And when we don't, we should remember this, that we can be extremely blessed. We have this wonderful blessing that we can change. We can take that sacrifice and we can repent and change. James 2, verse 5. James tells us, he says, listen, my brethren. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor? Here it's saying, has God not chosen those who are humble? If we're not humble, if we're not reflecting on these days and becoming humble and feeding on that unleavened bread, we're not chosen. Or if we started out that way, but we're not that way, we need to get back to that way. And as long as there's still breath in us, we all have that opportunity. God is the judge, not me or anyone else. God knows whose are his. But the words of the Bible are true. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? To be rich in this understanding, to be able to apply this way of life. And if we do, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. They love God because God and his son are in them, and they love to obey. They love to change. God is love. Jesus Christ, God the Father, love all people, even if they sin. Doesn't mean they accept the sinner, they hate the sinner, but God works with us. He cares for us. He guides us. And I thought this was real interesting. So let me read two scriptures where if we're seeking to be humble, we're seeking to be like Christ. We're not wanting to hold grudges, or our nature wants to hold grudges. We can't. No matter what people do to us, we need to be loved. We can't lift ourselves up. And when people offend us, we still need to be loved. Let me read these two examples. I thought this was, for me, it was striking. Here's Jesus Christ. As he's about to be betrayed, where Judas comes to him and kisses him. What does Jesus Christ do as he greets Judas? Matthew 26:50. But Jesus said to him, friend. Friend. Look that up in the Greek. That means to kindly address an individual. Friend, why have you come? He didn't scold him. He didn't chew him out. He called him friend. And then they came and laid hands on him, hands on Jesus, and they took him. That friend is also used in Matthew 22:12. When a person thinks they've made it into the kingdom, and they haven't. The parable in Matthew 22:12 regarding where going out in the highways and the byways and bring those people in. We have a wedding and someone comes in with no wedding garment. And Christ says to him, friend. How did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the individual was speechless. God still says, friend, friend, you're here. You're here without a wedding garment. That is, to an individual, it's like, you're on the wrong path. Friend, we're friends. God wants us to hear these words. He wants us to be, God the Father wants us to be like His Son. And let's turn over to 1 Peter. And Jesus Christ wants us to be like Him. We are to have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. I mean, sometimes we can just hear these words and we hear them and we hear them and we hear them and it really doesn't sink in. Maybe you can just sometimes brush off, at least sometimes for me. I have a thick head. And I'm just so thankful that God is so gracious and giving and merciful. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18, talking about servants, okay? Servants. And we're all servants, all right? Be submissive to your masters. We are servants to someone, to more than one person in our life, whether we have a job, to each other, to our pastor, to our mates, right? To our boss. It says, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Fear. Do we fear that maybe if I'm not respectful, God doesn't want that. He's telling us. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. Jesus Christ set that example. Friend, why are you here? Friend, for this is commendable if because of your conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. So if we suffer wrongfully, and guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We all have a story on that. How have we responded? Have we responded to be Christ-like? Have we responded in humility? For what credit is it that when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? So when we are admonished, when we are corrected for doing something wrong, we do take it humbly. That's what we're supposed to do. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. This is what we're also supposed to do. And Jesus Christ set that example as you continue through this scripture. Point number two. Practice being like God. Point number one leads into point number two. Practice being like God. Romans 6:10. We are to be living it. Not just hearing it, doers of the word. God is a living God. And we are to be living sacrifices. Romans 6:10. For the death that he died, talking about Jesus Christ, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, who does he live to? He lives to God. Who are we to live to? To God. We are to be love through this wonderful sacrifice. Likewise, verse 11, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. This leavening that represents during the days of unleavened bread, we want to get rid of it. We want to put it out. We want to be like God and alive to God in Christ, Jesus our Lord, that unleavened bread. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. We can get rid of it. We can ask God to help us to get rid of it. We must use the sacrifice. Because if we don't, that you should obey it in its lusts. God loved us so much that he wants us to be cleansed. He's making us to be complete. God died for us. What an amazing blessing. We can't be lazy. We can't be a hypocrite. We can't be stubborn, and we do not want to be deceived. If we are sinning willfully, Satan will be blinded like the rest of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Point number three. Look at living a life of overcoming sin and putting on godliness as being not a burden, but extremely blessed. Oh, how extremely blessed that we are given the opportunity to know what sin is and that we can get rid of it and we can replace it with righteousness. We are extremely blessed. Look at sin and look at righteousness in that way. Revelation 16:15 reads, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief." Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief." Unexpected. Whether we die in this lifetime or we're alive when he comes, it's going to be unexpected. Blessed, oh, extremely blessed is he who watches. They're spiritually ready and keeps his garments. They continue in being faithful, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Blessed. Again, oh, extremely blessed. Oh, how extremely blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. We're blessed to be able to do this at this time. It's a blessing. And the last verse, verse 14, "Oh, how extremely blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." We must overcome just like Jesus Christ overcame. Jesus Christ overcame the world. And those of us called in this age, we must overcome this world too. And Satan is in this world. So therefore, we must overcome him as well. In the millennium, Satan is not going to be there. And there's still going to be sin. People will still sin. Have an analogy in this process of overcoming sin. Sometimes we like to blame others. Sometimes we like to blame Satan. Let's look at fire. Fire's hot. It burns. Sin is like fire. We look at sin as fire. When we sin, we have fire. And then we have, and we must get rid of that sin, right? And then here we have Satan. He's like the gasoline. He's the accelerator. He likes to pour that gasoline on the fire. So when we sin, and we're holding on to that sin that we don't want to give up, we hold on to it, then Satan is there to pour gasoline on it, and it accelerates. That's where we don't want to go. We don't want Satan pouring that gasoline on our sin and making it worse. When we become angry, why are we angry? I have to ask myself. When I'm angry, why am I angry? It's because I'm not in control. And if I continue in that anger, what happens? Satan just loves that. He'll accelerate it. He'll pour gasoline on that anger. And if I'm not repenting, it can get out of control. I don't want to get it out of control where I am blinded. And Christ says, "I never knew you. You forgot about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You forgot about that process of showing love one to another so your sins could be forgiven." We have a high calling, brethren. We are extremely blessed. And without a doubt, it is a harder calling. It is a harder calling because we have to overcome Satan. Who first climbed Mount Everest? Does anyone know? Hillary? Yep, and Ryland Norgay. Yes, two individuals. Now, those individuals were the first people to ever climb Mount Everest. Before that, no one ever thought it could be done. They thought it was impossible. You would die trying to climb Mount Everest. And then once they did it, what happened? Others followed. Jesus Christ was first. He did it. God fulfilled it. Now we follow. And then others will follow later. Who was the second individual or individuals to climb Mount Everest? Who cares? No one cares about second place. We want the first resurrection. That's what we've been called to. If we're not in the first resurrection, and we've been called to the first resurrection, we're not going to be there. There is no second place. There is no second resurrection. Our calling is now. So the question is, in conclusion, do we see our calling? We need to look at it as, oh, how extremely blessed we are to be called to be in the first resurrection. And in that process, let's be making that a priority in our life now, to be extremely blessed to accept this calling that God has called us to. Point number one again, we need to be Christ-like. We need to humble ourselves. Here's an individual that didn't deserve anything that he got. We deserve death. And he set the amazing example of how we are to live, to love others. Point number two was practice being like God. Let's live our calling. It's important. Point number three, again, let's look at living a life of overcoming sin and putting on godliness or righteousness as being extremely blessed. Because this is a process for us that we're being made complete. God is very patient. He's very merciful. He's very kind. We're called to lead the way. It can be done. And that will be an example to humanity for eternity. The first fruits will be married to Jesus Christ. We go first. It's important. We must fulfill our calling. Jesus Christ overcame, and we must do the same. It's a great blessing. It's a high calling. It's a better resurrection. Oh, how extremely blessed we are.